Keith and Kristen Getty. If you don't know the Gettys, you should. If you don't have the Gettys music in your home, you need it. It will be a great blessing to you. Look it up. Keith and Kristen Getty, G-E-T-T-Y. It's worth it. Psalm 136. This particular psalm has a central theme that runs all the way through the psalm. I bet you'll never guess what it is. The theme of Psalm 136, obviously, is that the loving kindness of the Lord is everlasting. And I want to take just a minute here at the beginning. Let's just look at this psalm, at the details of this psalm for just a minute. The psalm has one command, one phrase of instruction, and that is to give thanks. We are commanded to give thanks in verse 1, verse 2, verse 3, and then again all the way at the very end in verse 26. And so we understand that whatever it is Psalm 136 tells us, our response to whatever we're given in there is to give thanks. This is Thanksgiving week. What is it that the Holy Spirit would give you that ought to lead your heart to be filled, as the song says, with thankfulness? My heart is filled with thankfulness. This psalm is the Holy Spirit feeding us what is true that ought to produce in our hearts thankfulness. That's what this psalm is about. That our response to whatever is written here is to give thanks. I want you to notice that to give thanks, that's the instruction, that's the command, that's our response. But then look what else we're given. We're given, give thanks to the Lord. So we're given thanks to someone specific, and it is to the Lord. And the Lord Himself is going to be described in every verse. You're going to see to Him in every verse. To who? Who is it that we're giving thanks for? Or that we're giving thanks to? The Holy Spirit is going to remind us. This is the Lord that you're giving thanks to. So we are told who we are giving thanks to. And then the phrase is for. For He is good. When you see the word for in Scripture, you automatically know that what you are being given is the reason why you need to do the instruction. So He says the instruction, give thanks to the Lord. Why? Why give thanks to Him? What is it that would lead our hearts to be filled with thankfulness? Here in verse 1, it is because He is good. God is good. There are lots of reasons why we could mention that God is good. The psalm, Psalm 136, is going to give us over and over and over and over again the aspect of God's goodness that we ought to be struck with. We could say, well, God is good because He saved me. Well, God is good because I have a job and my family is with me. And there are lots of experiential things that we could say, hey, God is good. And so I'll give thanks for these things. It's more than that, y'all. It's more than that. He says in every verse that God's loving kindness is everlasting. Why give thanks? What is it that ought to lead our heart to be filled with thankfulness? And it is that God's loving kindness, it's something about God's loving kindness. And I want you to understand what this word is. When you hear the word loving kindness, that's a Christianese word. We talk about loving kindness without really understanding what's going on there, because I don't know of anybody that I've ever described another person in terms of loving kindness. But the Bible uses that word of the Lord a lot. Here's this word. It is, and I want to, this is important. The Hebrew word there is a word called hesed. And the Hebrew word hesed is used, it's H-E-S-E-D. It's used all throughout the Old Testament. And it is God's faithful love for his chosen people. When you see this word in the Old Testament, you know that what is being described by this word is God's love and faithfulness for his own people. That word hesed, faithful love, that is the love that a husband has for his wife. When he says to her on their wedding day, I will never leave you until death do us part. In good times and bad, in sickness and in health, for better or worse, for poor, for richer, I will never leave you. That is God's loving kindness. It is his faithful love for us. Now, I want you to think about that for just a second. I want to dwell here for just a second. Why would you have to say to somebody, your faithful love is never ending. It's everlasting. Why would the Holy Spirit have to say to us 26 times that God's loving kindness is everlasting? Do you know why? Because we will be tempted. We will be tempted to think that there are limits. We will be tempted to think that some circumstances, I just don't know. I mean, is God? I don't know whether God's at work here or not. There will be some things that we will experience that will test our trust in God's faithful love. And the Holy Spirit says, don't even think about it. 26 times, God's loving kindness is everlasting. It never ends. There are no limits to it. A bride might say of her husband, what if I get sick? What if I'm not able to do all of the things that I did when I got married? I don't want to test his faithfulness. You know, I don't. I hope he would love me even if our marriage was like this. But I don't know. Are there limits to his faithfulness? The Holy Spirit says of the Lord, his loving kindness is everlasting. As you read that, I love to read the psalm out loud because it's almost like as you read the psalm out loud, you almost kind of get tired of hearing it. And the Holy Spirit says, good. If you get tired of hearing it, that means you won't ever forget it. I didn't put that phrase in every verse. The Holy Spirit did. His loving kindness, his faithful love for us never ends. He will never leave us. Now, we're told about the Lord. We're told some things about the Lord. So we're told to give thanks. That's our response. And then we're told who. And it's interesting, he says in verse 1, the Lord. And he says, the God of gods in verse 2 and the Lord of lords in verse 3. But he doesn't just leave it like that. This is not a generic, general psalm. This is a specific psalm. Who is it that the Lord, who is this Lord that we're giving thanks to? Look at this. Verse 4. To him who alone does great wonders. This is a God, we're giving thanks to a God who does great wonders. He alone does great wonders. He does things that only he can do. Only God can do. What are some of the things only God can do? Look at this. This is amazing. This God that we give thanks to, look at what he has done. He has made the heavens. Is that all that verse says? It doesn't just say he made the heavens. You know what it says? It says that he made the heavens with skill. Do you know why the Holy Spirit points out with skill? Because God knew what He was doing. When God made the heavens, when He put in place creation, God was not figuring this thing out on His own. I mean, as He went. He was figuring it out on His own, but not as He went. There was skill involved. He knew what He was doing. You know, you can tell the difference between a skilled carpenter and somebody like me. Because if you were to give me a saw and some nails and a hammer and a bunch of wood and said, here's your project, I would not be a skilled carpenter. And you would be able to tell at the end of the day. But a skilled carpenter is one in which you can give all of the resources and tell him what the end result, and he knows what he's doing. God, the Holy Spirit, points out, God knew what He was doing, y'all. And it's not just that, but look, it says that He spread out the earth above the waters, and He made the great lights. And watch this, not just that He made the great lights, but as He made the great lights, the sun, the moon, and the stars, there was purpose there. That as He created the sun and the moon and the stars, He had in mind purpose and design. That the sun was going to rule by day and the moon and stars were to rule by night. He didn't just throw it together. He didn't just kind of say, hey, this is a good idea. Let's just do it like this and see what happens. No, God said, I know what I'm doing and I know why I'm doing it. And here's what I'm going to do. Think about that for just a second. When you go outside today and you look around, and tonight it's going to be cloudy, and so you won't be able to see the moon come up, but if you were to see the moon come up, it's a half moon tonight. And as the sun goes down, the moon will come up a little before the sun sets. God did that, and He knew what He was doing. And He had purpose and design in it. That's the God that we give thanks to. Now, in verse 10, He leaves creation and the wonders that God has done in creation. And in verse 10, He begins to describe God's work among His people. And we find the Israelites enslaved in Egypt in verse 10. And while the Israelites are enslaved, God smote the Egyptians. In fact, it says that He smote them in their firstborn. The last plague was that God took the firstborn of every Egyptian household. And with that, He broke Pharaoh's hard heart, and Pharaoh said, get out. For 12 plagues before, Pharaoh had said, no way. Now he says, get out. God broke it. God broke the will of the captors and freed His people. God brought Israel out from their midst with a strong hand in verse 12 and an outstretched arm. God set His people free from their slavery. And they saw that. They knew that it was God who had done that in a way that only the Lord could. And then in verse 13, they're out of Egypt, but they're facing the Red Sea in front of them and the Egyptian army behind them. And so as He delivers them out of slavery, now He parts the Red Sea and He rescues them from their enemies. The Red Sea parts, and Israel in verse 14 passes through it. And in verse 15, Pharaoh and his army don't make it through it. And God delivers and rescues His people in a way that only He could have done. Verse 16. God not only delivers and rescues His people from their slavery and from their enemies, but God guides their steps. Now they're in the wilderness. And God is guiding their steps. They don't have GPS, y'all. There aren't any Google Maps. And you got 2 million people in a huge expanse. This is modern-day Saudi Arabia, and they're just wandering around the desert and don't have a clue where they're going. They don't know what's ahead of them. They might know a little bit about what's behind them, and they don't want to go back there, or at least they shouldn't want to go back there. But they don't know where they are or where they're going. But there is a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night that directs every single one of their steps. And so the Lord leads his people. In verse 17, God's people are led through the wilderness and come to the promised land. But when they get to the land that God had promised them, while it is a good land, there are mighty kings in that land. There are people who are living there, and they have tall walls and strong armies. How am I going to get to where God told me to go? How am I going to do what God told me to do? Well, in verse 17, God smote great kings. And in verse 18, God slew mighty kings, kings like Sion. And in verse 20, kings like Og. God paved the way. The place where they could not go for themselves. The enemies that they could not defeat. The victories that they could not gain for themselves. God did. He defeated. He gave victories. He strengthened. He led. He guided. And now, in verse 21, he gave. He gave his people their land. He cleaned it out. He defeated their enemies. He gave them the victories. He led them to it. And now he gave them the promised land, even as a heritage to his servant Israel, meaning that it was going to last for generations. Now, I want you to see something. I want you to notice that within the psalm, all of these things that God has done for his people, God delivered them from slavery, God rescued them from their enemies, God led them through the wilderness. God gave them victory, and God gave them the promised land. I want you to see that within the psalm, that is not why God's people are told to give him thanks. That is what God has done. That is who God is. But that's not why the psalm says to give thanks. The psalm says to give thanks because his loving kindness is everlasting. That all of these works of God in their life, that all of these ways God has protected and provided for and given victory over and freed from slavery, all of those things that God has done in the life of their people, in the life of his people, they are not intended to give thanks for those works, but those works are intended to show his people that his love for them, his faithful love for them, will never end. Now, we are not Israel. Most of us have never been enslaved in Egypt. I don't know, there might be somebody here. I would be willing to say that none of us have ever been enslaved in Egypt, never been freed from Pharaoh, never walked through the Red Sea divided, never been led through the desert. I've never even been to Saudi Arabia. Some of y'all have, maybe. Never been given the promised land, never faced Jericho. But you know what? You know what we have seen? We have seen God free us from slavery, haven't we? We have seen God free us from slavery. In fact, the Bible says that we were born slaves to sin. And listen, let me tell you something. I know who Chad Brady naturally is. and I know who I naturally would have been. And it's worse than a slave in Egypt, let me tell you. And the fact that I am not who Chad Brady naturally would have been, I have been freed from slavery, miraculously. And so have you, if you know Christ as your Savior. We have been freed, and we know what that looks like to see Christ free us from the slavery to sin. And we know what it looks like for Christ to lead us through the desert, at least to guide our steps. I hope you do. I hope you know. You can look back in your life and you can see how the Lord orchestrated and guided and directed. And you look back and things at the time, you didn't even understand those things at the time, but you look back now and you say, oh man, God knew what He was doing. Praise God, I didn't do what I wanted to do. Praise the Lord that He guided my steps to here. And so we know God has directed our steps. And while we're not necessarily experiencing the promised land and all that that will encompass, we know that the promised land of the Old Testament is really just a picture of the kingdom that's coming when Christ will sit on the throne, and we have that to look forward to. We know that we're not there yet, but we do know what it looks like for the Lord to defeat some of our enemies. We know even in my own heart, even in my own heart, I know that the Lord has given me victory. I know that even within my own family, the Lord has provided and guided and protected and given victory where I didn't know exactly what was going to happen. I can tell you, even Allison and I were talking about this just last night, and we talked about it again this morning. Allison and I will have been married 18 years in January. And just in those 18 years, I could tell you story after story of how the Lord... Allison and I are not very smart. And there's not a whole lot of... We didn't have like this grand plan that we were going to accomplish, you know. It didn't work like that. But I can look back and I can see God's hand guiding and directing. It wasn't always easy. And it wasn't always fun at the time. Can you do that? Can you look back and see God's hand guiding and providing and defeating enemies and giving victory? I hope you can. I hope you can. And I want you to see that within this psalm, every single one of those instances where God's work is clearly seen. And by the way, they're all past tense except for two. And I want to point those out to you here in just a minute. But I want you to notice that they're all past tense. Here is what God has done. And I want you to notice that all of those things... All of these things that God has done, past tense, that's not what we give thanks for. But all of those things that God has done, past tense, are meant to remind us of really what we're thankful for. And it is that God's loving kindness, His faithful love, never ends. Now, why would you mention something past tense and then tell somebody to be thankful for something that never ends? Why would you do that? Past tense and never ending are two opposite different things. One is past tense and one is future tense, right? So why would you mention past tense if you're trying to communicate something that's true of the future? Because what is past tense leads us to be confident in what never ends. And what God has done in the past leads us to be thankful, to give thanks, because He doesn't ever change. That God, and I want to point this out to you, and we're gonna get to these last few verses here in just a second, but let me point something out to you. Go back to verse 4. Verse 4 is one of the only two verses that's written in the present tense. And this is what it says. It says, to Him who alone does great wonders. That verse does not say did, as like God used to, but maybe doesn't do it now. That verse says, does great wonders. And the God who just does great wonders, and the God who created the world with skill, the God who knew what He was doing and designed and created with purpose and with plan, is still doing that. And the God who was faithful to His people against a Pharaoh with a hard heart, and against an army up against a Red Sea, and against an unknown wilderness where you don't know where in the world you're going, and against a city called Jericho with high walls, but God said, this is your land, and you said, I don't know. And God says, I do know, and I'm with you, and I'm faithful, and I will always be faithful to you. And there are times in our life where we look, and God, I don't know how I'm going to get the victory over this, God. God, you know this situation that you've given me. And God, I don't know where the victory is going to come from because I don't have it. God, I don't know where this provision is going to come from. I don't know. God, you've provided in the past, I know, but God, this is different. God, I don't know where I'm going to get the energy. God, I don't know how I'm going to continue on like this. And God says 26 times, Chad, my loving kindness is everlasting. Nothing of God has changed. When we saw Him rescue us, when we saw Him lead us, when we saw Him give us victory, nothing of God has changed. And every single time we run up on a new situation, God's love and kindness is everlasting. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God never changes. It's okay. Why in the world would we fear and worry? I don't know. We shouldn't. What should we do? Give thanks. Watch this. Verse 23. Who do we give thanks to? The God who remembered us in our low estate. What does that mean? Well, within the specific context, he's talking about Israel. Israel was the smallest country on earth, the smallest people group on earth. That's in Deuteronomy. There wasn't anything about Israel that would lead God to want to choose Israel as His own people, but yet He did. God looked down, and this little people was enslaved. They weren't powerful. They had no ability to overcome Egypt on their own, but yet God loved them. The same is true for us. Not that we were enslaved by Egypt, but that we were enslaved by sin. And while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This God, He remembered us in our low estate. While we were still sinners, I don't know if God can forgive what I have done. I don't know if God can still use me. I don't know if God can really work in that person's heart. I love him, but I don't know if he can. I don't know if he can do that. Yes, he can. He remembered us in our lowest state. He's rescued us from our adversaries. Listen, we have an enemy who wants to destroy our life. We have an enemy who wants to knock the Holy Spirit down in our life, and who wants to destroy us from the inside. And the fact that that hasn't happened is just because God has given us victory. Now watch this. Verse 25. Verse 25 is the only other verse written in the present tense. And it says, who gives food to all flesh? Not that God did provide, like used to provide. I don't know if he will provide now. He used to do that. No, God does provide. He gives food to all flesh. Who is it that continues to do great wonders and continues to provide for everything on earth? All life on earth is dependent on him, whether it knows it or not, whether that person acknowledges it or not, but it is God who gives them life. And he does it still. And we can depend on him. We really do, whether we know it or not. Give thanks to the God of heaven, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Every single blessing, every single act, every single work, every single way that God's hand has provided, protected, and guided, given victory, defeated our enemies. Every single way. This is Thanksgiving. We're going to talk about this, y'all. You're going to sit around on Thanksgiving eating turkey and hopefully talk about what the Lord has done. Every single one of those blessings, at least in Psalm 36, that's not the reason to give thanks. But what is behind that is God's faithful love that never ends. Every single one of those blessings is just a reminder. God will never leave us. That God does great wonders. That God provides. And if you ever question that, just look back. Look back at the cross. Look back in your life how God has led and provided. And when we are tempted to fear or worry, why fear? Why worry? God's loving kindness is everlasting. What? But it is. If Jesus died for my sin, and he says that he never changes, if I don't have my sin to worry about, why in the world would I worry about anything less? That's Psalm 136. We have much to be thankful for. And God's loving kindness, his faithful love that never changes, never goes away. Man, that's good, y'all. We need this. I need this. Father, God, I praise you that your loving kindness is everlasting. God, I pray that in our own hearts and minds, I pray that we would be confident in your loving kindness. I pray that you would make us confident in your faithfulness to us, and that we would give thanks. Lord, even without seeing how you will provide and how you will guide, even without seeing the end of the story, God, make us confident in your loving kindness. God, you know, in my own heart, I pray that you would make confident in your loving kindness. Father, we thank you for all the ways that you've shown us. God, we thank you most of all for your son, Jesus, that you remembered us in our low estate. In Jesus' name, amen. In just a second, we're going to stand and we're going to sing. And as we stand and sing, maybe it is that you are here and you have never just trusted what God has done for you. You've never just trusted that Jesus died on the cross for your sin and rose from the grave to give you new life. And you need to. You have tried and tried and tried. But you just need to trust what Jesus did. And I beg you, if you have never trusted Christ and his sacrifice on the cross and the new life that he offers, trust him today. Come ask me about it. I'd love to share more about what that means. Brothers and sisters, this week, right now even, let's just look back. Let's look for God's hand in our life. Begin at the cross and then just move forward. And let's let the Holy Spirit remind you of his faithful love. Be confident in that. And let that produce thanksgiving in our hearts this week. Not all the stuff, but let the stuff lead us to the Lord and his heart for us and his faithfulness to us. Let's do that. Let's stand and sing.
Hymn 634.